The assigned text is the scripture just read from Matthew 11. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, in this Advent season, our thoughts inevitably go, among other subjects, to the person and work of John the Baptist, the great forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way preparer for the Messiah of Israel. In the text just read, the Lord Jesus pays great tribute to John and his ministry, stating, among other things, that because of that ministry, the kingdom of heaven presses forward forcefully, and forceful persons keep on seizing it. A little better rendering for those words than the one that was given. The subject there is not violence against the kingdom in context, but rather the progress of the kingdom in a forceful manner because of the powerful promulgation of the word. Because of John's great ministry, many, many persons were brought to know the Lord Jesus, to welcome his coming into their midst, to acclaim him their Redeemer and King, and dedicate their lives to him. We now, this morning, briefly would note a few of the aspects of John's ministry and some of the things Jesus has to say about John so that we may be helped in our Advent preparation. As we want to celebrate Christmas joyfully and in a God-glorifying manner, and as we seek to meet the Lord aright as he comes to us continually in word and sacrament, and as we are preparing for his final coming, all of which thoughts the scriptures for the Advent season bring to our attention. First of all, this commendation of John on Jesus' part. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Wherein did John's greatness lie? Not in his person as a human being, because he was a sinner like the rest of us, but because of the privileged status in the kingdom and station and assignment which the Lord had granted him. John is greater than the other prophets, Christ said just a few verses before our text. The prophets of the Old Testament, literary and not literary, because he is the only prophet whose coming is prophesied. Furthermore, he is the prophet who is the immediate forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, after whom Christ will actually appear on the historical scene at once. John is not to be classed with the Old Testament prophets. He stands at the very beginning of the New Testament times and the new days of the kingdom. Among men born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And yet these puzzling words then follow. The Savior says, notwithstanding, he that is least or less in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, how is that to be understood? Well, not in this way, that John had some doubts about Jesus' messiahship. If you read just a few verses before selected as our text in Matthew 11, John had sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one whom we're seeking as a Messiah, or are we looking for someone else? He had seen Jesus' works of mercy or heard about them, but he had not heard about or seen Jesus' works of judgment, both of which subjects he had preached in his powerful messages in the wilderness. He was now languishing in prison. But he went to Jesus. He still trusted him. He wanted the answer from the Christ. And then the Lord helped him out in the way that he did. He told his disciples to point to those works of mercy and to let in God's good time the other works follow, but that these works were sufficient to attest his messiahship. Christ had lost no confidence in his great forerunner and servant John. Nor is it this, that John is in the new covenant and John is the one who has the kingdom and is on the threshold of it, and those who live later on will have it more fully than he. Now, it is true that John never saw many of the works of Christ. He never saw their consummation, namely in his great crucifixion, death, and self-resurrection on the first Easter Sunday. It is for this reason that the least in the kingdom, or the one who has lesser office or no office at all, like John did in the kingdom, is going to be greater, because he has the great treasures of God's revelation which have been vouchsafed to the New Testament church. I think this is the way these words are to be understood. And now Jesus comes to the heart of the commendation of John. He says, from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven not suffers violence, but rather presses forward forcefully, and forceful persons keep on seizing it. Why did the kingdom of heaven move forward triumphantly and with mighty progress with the advent of John? Well, it was because of John's great message on the one hand, which he was led to preach by the power of the Spirit, and the fullness of time in God's great dispensation as he dealt with men on the other. John's message was, as you recall it from the third chapter of Matthew, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change your mind. Change your mind about your sins. Change your mind about the Messiah to come. I'm going to tell you who he is. He's in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. John scathingly indicted his generation. He called to their attention the terrible sins that were committed by all the classes. But he pointed them to the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world, who would pay for these transgressions fully, finally, and forever, that through faith in him they might have forgiveness and life. And then he said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance, for true repentance includes God-pleasing amendation of life. And as the various groups came before him, as we learn from the parallel passage in Luke 3, he told them what works they ought to be performing in their lives, thus to show the evidence of their faith, to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, John also said, at hand in the person of Jesus Christ. What is the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, as it is referred to elsewhere in the scriptures? The kingdom is not a geographical territory. It is, in most passages of Holy Writ, not the people that make up the church, but rather the rule or reign of God in the believer's heart, which begins the moment he comes to faith. The Lord Jesus declared on one occasion, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall men say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's something internal. It's God's reign set up in a human heart the moment the spirit, that heart, turns to faith. You see, kings of antiquity ruled through their word. They issued decrees. These were copied down by the court secretaries and then dispersed to the various parts of the realm through royal and military couriers. And as the regulations were read in city after city, hamlet after hamlet, they became the law of the land. And this is the way God, our King, rules in his kingdom too. He speaks, and his speaking is in his holy word. The very first command that Christ the King issues is to repent and to believe the gospel, to believe in him. And when an individual is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power exclusively, and able to acclaim Jesus Lord and God, then God's rule has been set up in his heart. That individual has obeyed the first, the primal command of the King to believe. You can say the kingdom is in him, or he is in the kingdom, and these are tantamount expressions. And that rule, of course, is capable of growth and increase as the person who is God's child now listens to more and more commands of the King in the Word, and through the Spirit is empowered to render more and more obedience to those commands. He prays for that increase of the kingdom each time in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer when he says, thy kingdom come. The kingdom which has been established in his heart now is to be increased. And he's also asking for a hastening of the day when that kingdom will be perfectly established in his heart. Now, because John fearlessly proclaimed sin and called a spade in the case of all those who came to him and told them what their transgressions were and where those transgressions were leading them, but then pointed them to the only but all-sufficient Savior, and declared the purpose of all of his redeeming work after they have accepted him and received their forgiveness, that they might now be and live to his glory. The kingdom was coming in a powerful way. The way was being prepared for the Christ, and many were ready to acclaim him as Redeemer and Lord and devote their lives to him. John prepared for the coming of Christ, and he can prepare us for the coming of Christ as we think these thoughts. After all, the kingdom which John was instrumental in planting in the hearts of others as God's agent, and which has been planted in our hearts, is capable of increase and growth for us as it was for John's contemporaries. And it says here, the words of the Savior, the kingdom of heaven is pressing forward forcefully, and forceful persons seize it, keep on seizing it for themselves. The kingdom of God comes to us in greater measure as we give more and more attention to his word, concentrating upon its precepts and promises, drawing upon the power of that word to carry out God's holy will. We must recognize that daily we transgress, and any of our sins would be sufficient to separate us from God forever. But as we lift the eyes of our faith to him who was sinfully crucified for us on Calvary, and realize that he has paid for our transgressions, including scarlet and heinous sins we may have committed, then we know we receive pardon. He forgives us each one, wipes our slate clean, and we stand perfect in his eyes. And we then can be ready to accept his directives for our lives and carry them out in joyful, holy, enthusiastic obedience. Having the kingdom come to us in increasing measure means putting our mind then on the word of God, law and gospel portions, as we receive then our forgiveness and then rededicate our lives to carrying out those things which he would have us do. Now, the kingdom of heaven is taken by those who put forth energetic effort and who valiantly and vigorously seek after it. And I think this is the final thing that we learn from John, that the kingdom which has come and which we seek to have coming to us in increasing measure is obtained as we put forth energetic effort in its acquisition, which means devoting conscious hours to the poring over the sacred text, to retaining in our minds the lessons we have learned, to drawing on Christ's power, the Christ who lives in us, to share with us his own invincible sin-defeating might, to carry out those precepts which we find in his word. We recognizing that the final purpose of all of God's saving activity in our life is not simply that we be brought to heaven's glory, that we be saved now, but that we be saved now and be brought to heaven's glory, that we might serve him here in this life and serve him hereafter, glorifying him by the things that we do in obedience to his will. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit. Not some fruit, much fruit. So shall ye prove yourselves to be my disciples. At the end here, Jesus said, all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. They were pointing forward to John's time, who opens up the New Testament period. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. This is the Elijah who was prophesied, who points to the Christ. If ye will receive it, it's a matter of the will. How fast do we want to grow in Christ? How quickly do we want to receive his kingdom in increments which are great? Well, it's according to our will. If ye will it, if you want this thing, God is working in us continually to will and to do of his good pleasure if we give God his way and make the mastery of his word and the obedience to his word our final determination. If we do what the Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, to seek first in our lives his kingdom, then we shall have it. We shall enjoy the peace and the blessing that comes with it and all the other things that we need for this life, which he also promises to those who seek his kingdom first of all in their lives. May this then be part of our Advent preparation as we look forward to Christmas and as we meet the Lord regularly in his word in this season and in all seasons of the church year, and are making ourselves ready for that day when we shall meet him, perhaps by death or perhaps in the parousia itself, and will be ushered into eternal blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.